It's 8 o'clock, Max, so if you want to just go ahead and kick off the call with some of your ideas, we'll go from there.
Okay, so I guess what we'll do is welcome everyone to the Choice Group Contractor Group. We'll call this the business conference call section. Pretty much we intend to just discuss general business items, what things are working in different people's businesses, whether it's marketing, whether it's structure, whether it's how to operate your crew, whether it's what sprayer you're using, what profit margins you're getting, who your clientele is. So there's all sorts of things to go into, but I think every single step of the way, we're going to try to have something about the mindset and getting the entrepreneur mindset going. So I guess if we could start off with introductions, just say your name, where you're calling from, and just start with that. So my name is Max Cruz with Cudesso Commercial Roofing, and we're based out of Haverhill, Massachusetts, about 30 miles north of Boston.
My name is Jason Mazzani. I'm the owner of Tri-State Contracting and Roofing. I'm outside Nashville, Tennessee. And we're about to get hit with a pretty nasty storm here shortly.
My name is Amos Spiler from Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, CV Roofing Systems, LLC. I got on a little late.
Jared.
How many is on this call?
Amos, this is Jonathan. We've got six callers on the call right now.
Okay.
Jonathan, you said that was six?
Yep, that's right.
All right, so I guess we've heard four guys, so we have two left if you want to pitch in. Otherwise, if you're too shy, that's not a problem.
This is Jared Holderman from Plymouth, Indiana, the AGD Commercial Roofing.
Anybody else?
Looks like Sam might have just joined.
The big man himself.
How's Max Cruz doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm out here in Montana enjoying the snowflakes. It's snowing out here.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow they're saying it's going to be 70 degrees in, actually Friday, 70 degrees in Boston. So it's going to be quite a different Christmas than I guess I'm used to. So. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll just.
All right, Jonathan. I guess if you want to mute the lines at this point so we can get minimal interference or whatever. So, again, welcome everyone to the kind of business mindset Choice Roof Contractor Group phone call. Again, the reason we decided to do these phone calls is just to talk general business stuff, get us motivated as a group, and go out there and do what we do individually and also as a team. So tonight's call, the three main topics that I have is mindset, kind of getting you as a business owner in that mindset of, the difference between having a business, doing the business, and, all the other fun stuff. Also, we'll talk a little bit about organization, just how, on a big scale level, just general organization, filing, things like that, and also just to get that mindset of what you want your business to be. And then we'll talk about setup, and I think Jonathan put in there optimization. So when I was referring to setup is how your business is actually set up, as far as legal structure, whether it's self-proprietor, just an owner-based individual, whether it's an LLC, whether it's a corporation, and some of the advantages and disadvantages. And then, again, we talk about what's best for everyone's scenario. Just to put out a disclosure, none of us, or at least myself, I would say I'm not a true business professional. I just read a lot of stuff. I look at a lot of stuff. I've tried to experiment with things in our company. Some things have worked. Some things are working better than others. And again, I'm just trying to, you know, get my business to a certain stage. It looks to be, we just did the books last week. Last year, so 2014, we closed at $1.2 million in revenue, and this year we actually closed at about $1.8 million in revenue. So our profit margins aren't at the optimal 25 or 30% where we'd like to be, but next year with some of the changes that we've done and we're looking to do and focus on the commercial roofing market, I think we'll be there. So what I will tell you is if you haven't hit that $1 million mark, set it as your goal. Once you do it, it gives you a different perspective. But in all honesty, the amount of contracts you sell or the amount of service you sell is kind of irrelevant. And the more you discuss with our group, you'll see why. So I'll start off with a direct quote from Michael Gerber's book called The E-Myth. I posted this on Facebook. It's a free audiobook. You can buy the book. It's a great resource to have. A lot of the real estate professionals that I deal with and a lot of other business people that have been very successful that I personally know have recommended this book. And the reason they have recommended this book is because it changes your mindset of how to think. So a direct quote from the book, it says that most of the people that go into business, the mindset that they have is if you understand the technical work of the business, you understand the business that does that technical work. So pretty much in this book, what Michael Gerber emphasizes is that in each one of us, we have three personalities. One of those personalities is the entrepreneur. The second personality is the manager. And the last personality is the technician. So the entrepreneur is that excited guy that, you know, was tired of hearing from his boss saying, hey, you know, I'm tired of banging nails from this guy. I'm going to go and, you know, do this great service and provide this great thing. The manager in us was the person or is the person that, you know, if you ran a crew, you were either foreman or you like to have that organizational skills and like to make sure that things were being done on time and everything else. And then the technician in us was more or less kind of the intermediate or the starting off guy. So those are the guys, if you worked for a carpenter, you know, you would just bang nails all day long. You're the guys that are getting it done. You know, you show up at the job site at 7 o'clock in the morning, you work hard, you skip lunch until 3:30 in the afternoon. You just get, you know, an eight or a 10-hour day, and you're just getting things done. And, you know, next week you go to another job site, a month from now you're at another job site, and again, you're just that person that's just constantly doing it. One of the other items that Michael Gerber best explains this, to put it in layman's term, is that those three personalities is kind of the personality of the fat guy or the skinny guy that's in us. So we've all, I guess I won't say we've all, but at some point of our lives we've had motivations, whether it is, you know, whether you're overweight like me and you're wanting to lose weight and you have that skinny guy thing and you want to put on your sneakers and you've got to go run this, you know, 3 miles a day, and then you do all your exercises for 2 weeks, you see that you haven't lost any weight, you're still looking pretty similar in the mirror, and then all of a sudden you're that fat guy again. So is that constant clash of your mindset, you know, giving you to that standard what you're used to. You're used to being where you are today. And to get outside of that comfort zone and break that barrier and be disciplined and exercise and see the long-term vision, you know, that's where you want to set your mindset to you. What I will say is that from personal experience and from, again, the more things I read and I can, we all can probably reference a motivational book or a motivational speaker that has changed our way of thinking, is that change is one of the most important aspect in this whole thing. You know, the definition of, or one of the modern definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You know, I don't think anyone can expect, if you went into business for yourself and you, if you would have still stayed working for that company or working for whatever you were doing prior to starting your own organization, you know, you knew you were going to make whatever you were making at the end. You would get your paycheck on Friday. Next week, you would repeat it. A year would go by. You might be lucky and get a little bonus at the end of the year. And then, you know, you get a little bump here every year or so. And 20 years down the road, if you work for a great company, you might have a retirement plan. And then you would see that your 401k wasn't worth anything if you lost a lot of money in 2008, like a lot of people did or whatever. But, you know, it's that constant mentality that if you're doing the same thing, nothing is going to change. Nothing is different about being a business owner. Being a business owner, if you're just thinking that, hey, you know, I'm just going to do this and what I have is the best thing out there and what I have is just constantly going to do the same thing, well, the bad news for that is, sure, you might do that and you might be very successful for, you know, 5, 10, 25, 50 years, but at some point, something, whether it's a technological change, whether it's things that are out of your control, whether it's innovation and other tools, innovations and other products, something is going to happen that you can't do the same thing you were doing 5, 10, 15 years ago. So there's a constant evolution and a constant change that has to be happening in your company. So that being said, it comes to the mindset that I think we all at Choice Roof Contractor Group, at some point our main goal is to know that the service that we provide to that building owner selling the Conklin products, that is what we are selling. As individuals, you know, we pride ourselves in the workmanship that we do. We know that the Conklin products works every single time if used correctly, and we're selling the best thing to the business owner. But again, as a group, we need to understand and we need to pride ourselves that it's the service that we're selling to the client. If you really start focusing on your business and you think, hey, why am I in business? Well, I can tell you that probably across the board, we can all say because, you know, I heard stories about this roofer going up on a roof and he did this and 5 years down the road it was leaking. And I heard this guy that promised the homeowner or promised the business owner that he was going to get it done in the next 2 weeks and he never showed up until 4 weeks after. Or I have heard stories this or I've seen that. We're all going to get that stuff. Again, that's why people are willing to pay us as individuals and us as Choice Roof Contractor Group members more money because we're going to provide them that service that, hey, you know, you want this roof, you don't want it to leak for the next 18 years or longer, apply this product. We know the product works. It's proven since 1977. It's working every single time. This is what I can give you. If this thing leaks in the next 5 years, you're going to call us. We're going to come back. We're going to take care of you. We're not going to be that roofer that's going to be out of business. We're here for the long run. And if you really focus your mindset around providing that great service, then things will really start to change within you individually and things within your organization, and just you're going to outbeat that competition every single time. So this kind of goes into the next step, which is the organization. So Michael Gerber, when he talks about the entrepreneur, the manager, the technician, these are all things that are necessary in the business. So the entrepreneur is the guy that has that vision that says, hey, I'm going to go into roofing business because I want to provide the great service that nobody else is providing, and I'm going to be better than the competition because my clients, I'm going to give them an estimate, I'm going to stick to my estimate, I'm going to show up on time, I'm going to do the roof correctly, it's not going to leak for the time frame that I say it's going to leak, I'm going to leave the job site cleaner than it is when I got there, overall the customer is going to have a good experience. And if they have any issues and they give us a call, we're going to follow up, we're going to take care of their problems, and we're going to, you know, make sure that the customer is satisfied every single step of the way. Well, that's great, and that's kind of the mindset that I hope that everyone that was in business has, and if we all do, we're all going to be very successful. Now, the problem is you as the entrepreneur, you as the owner, you might have that vision, but eventually, like with all businesses, you expect to grow. There's got to come a point where you will no longer be able to be up on every single roof or go bid every single job site or go answer those phone calls. So at that point, that's when it's important for you to have what's called the manager in place. So you yourself as an entrepreneur need to organize your company from the top down and from the down up, sideways and in every single direction, where you, it doesn't matter if you're in business already or if you're just starting off or if you've been doing it for 20 years, if you organize yourself and you go back to the drawing board and you say, okay, what does my company provide? A roofing service. Okay, let's look at this on a macro level. We provide a roofing service and we want to service our clients to the best of our abilities and provide the best service to our clients. For us to do that, our people that are working within my organization, everything from the person that answers the phone call to the technician that goes out to the guy that responds to the emergency service to the guy that's in your mechanic shop repairing your vehicles to just every single person that's in your organization has to have the same motivation, has to have the same mindset. We are there to provide the best service. If you really manage and if you really get that along to your guys, you will find out that 50% of your problems will go away. You will no longer have those phone calls from clients that are complaining, well, you know, this guy came out here, he did this, and he didn't do it right, and then you say, okay, I'm going to go out there and take care of you and fix it myself. The reason that's not going to happen is right from the beginning, right from the moment you hire that individual, you make it important to them and say, hey, this is what our company is about. This is what we do. This is how we want this thing done. So the ultimate goal of our clients being satisfied and getting the best possible service, if you're not on the same page, you're not going to last. And I will tell you, I've personally tried this within my company. Some of our individuals have been with us for 15 years, and they've had to make changes in order not to leave. We've brought in individuals that we tell them right from the beginning what their job functions are going to be and what the ultimate goal is in sight. And since we applied this about 6 months ago, everything from my involvement on the job sites and everything from the responses from my clients have been nothing than better and better and better as the days go by. But again, the number one important thing is the decision to make that change and the decision to stick to whatever your mission statement is going to be. So going to the, again, moving forward on analyzing things on a macro, bigger scale level, on a micro level, you have to at some point just sit back, whether it's, I know we're all busy, we're all working 60 hours a week as business owners, but you have to take that 1 or 2 hours or however much you can dedicate and really step back and say, okay, today I'm going to organize my business. I'm going to see that, okay, I'm at the top. I need to plan what this thing is going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. These are my goals. This is how we're going to get there. And then you start saying, okay, at some point when I do that $1 million in sales and I'm doing 20 roofs a season, hey, I'm going to need more than one crew to get this done. So in order to make sure to do this, well, I need this guy to participate as the manager, be my foreman, get all of these guys in place, you know, a good guy that, you know, can lead the crew, that has respect for the individuals, get all the right people in place. And then you're going to say, well, you know, that's great. We've done this already for 2 years. At year number three, I want to sell $2 million in roofs. So we're going to hire a sales team. Again, when you hire a sales team, you're going to go in and you're going to say, hey, this is our mission statement. This is what we're selling. Now, this is what the salespeople do. This is how they go. This is how they contact our customers. This is what they're selling. This is the prices. This is how this is. Well, then those salespeople need to communicate with the people that are doing the work. That's where you, depending on how you organize your business, you might have a project management team that you bring in and says, okay, once the sale happens, then it turns over to the project managers. The project managers are going to plan out the job, plan out when to order the material, set up the deliveries, do all that, and then they hand it down to the foreman or the field representative and say, okay, next week you guys are going on this roof. And again, you could start to see how all of this is evolving, and then you start to see, well, now you can really see the magic and you can start seeing, hey, you know, if this is really working, which I can tell you it will, you just have to plan on it correctly. When this starts to work, now I can start to do 40 roofs a year, because now that I have two sales guys representing or giving the information to one project manager, that one project manager giving that information to the two crews. The two crews can bang out 20 roofs each in a season. Well, if I set up two other salespeople and one other project manager and two other crews, now all of a sudden we're doing, you know, 40 roofs a season. Now all of a sudden we're doing 80. And you're replicating and replicating and growing this thing. Now, we've all heard the expression of, you know, people get way too fast, way too quick. And that's true. Again, Michael Gerber talks about IBM, which at one phase of its life was an $88 billion company. So the founder of IBM, when he formed it, his mindset was, again, we are going to provide the best intelligent business machine. And the way that we're going to do it is that eventually we're going to be the number one leader on the market worldwide. He had that vision, just like Ray Kroc had that vision that he purchased the McDonald's from two guys that were just running hamburger shops and turned the business of McDonald's into a franchise business that is now a worldwide huge company, just like the brothers at Walmart took one convenience store and brought it to this giant supercenter that's worldwide. The vision is the dream, and the vision is as big as you want it to be, but you have to be ready for it. Again, that's where the change in yourself and the planning of all these things have to happen. So as you start to grow, you'll notice, okay, well, now that I'm running out of a little garage or I'm running out of my house or whatever, that's fine. I can run a crew. But now that I have these salespeople, they need a place to go to. Now that I have two or three salespeople and two or three project managers, we need a bigger place to go to. The biggest error that people commit is that they start to explode their vision way too big that they're not mentally ready for. That is where it's important to have the right people next to your side. If you don't know something, for example, bookkeeping or accounting, which are two completely separate items, I recommend that you invest some money in a good CPA, a certified public accountant, and you say, hey, this is my vision, this is what I want to do, and you know, how do I set up the chart of my accounts to do this? And do you recommend that I hire a bookkeeper internal, or do I just have someone come in 2 days a week into my office and do the books? You know, you need to associate yourself with the right people that can reinforce what you're missing, because that's what you are. Again, as an entrepreneur, you're leading your team, you're leading your managers, you're leading your technicians to get the items, the service that you're selling, to get that thing done. But again, you need to have the vision of, okay, as a company on a macro level, I know I need a sales team. I know I need a technical team. I know I need my overhead team that's going to provide the office support. And all of these things come together, and that's how you think. That's how you grow your company. But again, when you start getting too big and you start saying, okay, well, you know, last year we sold 20 roofs. Next year I'm going to sell 100. So I'm going to duplicate my system 5 times and bring in 5 great salespeople and have 5 project managers. Well, unfortunately, you know, things out of our control, like the economy happened, like what happened in 2008. And sometimes when you grow way too quick and you have external factors, you know, those situations tend to happen. Another thing that you need to be very careful of is capital improvements and capital investment. Not all of us have, you know, it's different in everyone's scenario, but not all of us have $500,000 or $1 million sitting around that says, okay, I'm going to put all this money into my company. Because if I bring this sales team and I pay him commission, or if I bring this project manager and pay him $60,000 a year, well, guess what? That's all great, but you need to put all this money up front until you start getting it. If you don't have it and you need to take out a loan and you have that monthly payment on that loan, but yet your account's receivable, so the amount of work that's coming in isn't necessarily off tracking what you're spending, well, that's very quick to, again, lose that balance. So, again, big companies, they plan on this. They say, okay, we're going to make a big capital investment of this much money this year, and it's going to take us 3 years to see that return on that. And as long as you plan for it, as long as you have a system in place, as long as you check with the right professional individuals in order to achieve those items, you will be fine. But again, you need to have a contingency plan. You need to have a plan B, which as we develop this thing, we'll talk more about. Again, developing your plan and having that. But again, the first thing, number one important thing, is the mindset. If you continue to do the same exact thing as you're doing, do not expect change. The one of the quotes that I'll read is it's not mine. It didn't say who it was, but it says, "Don't fear failure. Fear being in the exact same place next year as you are today." At the end of this conversation and a week from now, and as we get through the new year, just ask yourself, where do I want to be 12 months from now? If you want to be that guy that sold 10 roofs, let's just put out there 10 roofs. Forget about the dollar figure, because if you sell 100,000 square foot roofs at $4 a square foot, then your 10 roofs is going to look like $4 million, which is great. But if you, you know, if your average roof is going to be $20,000 and you sell 10, well, that's $200,000. Now, remember when I said that the dollar value doesn't matter? It doesn't matter because every market is different. If you come to Boston, if you go to New York City, if you go to Los Angeles, if you go to some places in Texas, if you go to Seattle, every single roofing market is going to be all over the board. So, again, the dollar value doesn't matter. What matters is that if you want, focus on your profit. Make sure that you say, okay, my goal is going to sell 10 roofs, and I want to make 20% profit on every one of those roofs. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to price it. This is what we're going to do. The last item we'll talk about is setup, and I guess Jonathan can pitch in on the optimization. Again, everyone's scenario is different. A lot of the people, when we start off, we start as sole proprietors, and then we change our business into an LLC or something else. I would strongly advise that you meet either with a CPA or an attorney to guide you the best way. What I will tell you is this. If you set up your company as a commercial roofing business, as a sole proprietor, and something happens, which inevitably it will. I mean, I'm from Massachusetts, so here everybody and their cousin and their uncle and your neighbor next door is going to sue you just because you have a commercial license plate, but other parts of the country is not like that. They're much more friendlier, so we have been sued a couple times, and, you know, we've the things that are no fault at our own, really, but anyways, we have been sued a couple times because of the color that's on my logo. But anyways, I won't get into that. So that being said, if you're set up as a sole proprietor, whatever's in your name, everything that's in your company, the house that you own, the car that you own, your personal bank accounts, your personal retirement plan, everything that you solely own as yourself, you're tying it up into your business transactions. What I would strongly recommend is, again, get a good attorney or get a good CPA and say, hey, I need to protect my personal assets and my business assets completely separate. Once you start doing that, there's two things that happen. One is try to keep your personal stuff on a separate bank account or a separate credit card, whatever you're doing, and keep all of your business transactions on a completely separate items. Again, just like I said, that everything happens from the beginning. If you don't get into that mindset and you don't get that organization and you don't have that discipline from the beginning, well, when your company grows and the market is demanding for you to do 10, 20 roofs a year, you're not going to be ready. It's going to be too late. So you have to find that, you know, that happy medium. Some of us don't have, you know, $500 or $700 to pay for an accountant, and then another $500 or $1,000 to set up an LLC, and another $500 in order to record that LLC with the state. Again, it's a large money investment, but at some point, just make sure that you have in the back of your mind, if I'm operating as a sole proprietor, I need to separate my personal stuff from my business stuff. So whenever you do have the money, just separate it as soon as you can. That way you don't have any of those liabilities. You don't have things hanging over your head, and you can sleep well at night, and you know that. Unfortunately, if something happens, if somebody falls off your roof, accidents do happen. If, you know, someone is applying some quick caulk and they drop that bucket onto someone's car below or whatever it ends up happening, you know, and they sue you, at least you're only liable to the limits of your company. It's not going to come down to you personally. So with that being said, just to recap, again, we talked about the mindset. We talked about the three phases of the EMIF, which is the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. We talked about the organization of what to think and really organize your company in every single direction and say, okay, if I tell my people what to do, they will follow and they do it like I want them to do it every single time. So make sure you get to that at some point. And then the last part was the setup, which, again, at some point, just separate your personal from your business stuff and really try to set up your business, whether it's a corporation, an LLC, an S-Corp, whatever you do it, talk to an accountant, just get it done. Make sure you keep your personal and your business stuff separate. And with that, I guess I'll turn it over to Jonathan if he wants to add some more thing about optimization. And then we can open up the line for any questions, comments, things that you guys are doing that, again, you can refer to whatever topics I cover and say, hey, yeah, I tried that before and it worked fairly well. Or I tried this and it didn't really work out. And we kind of have an open forum about what's working and not working for some people.
Well, that was really great, Max, and I actually read that book myself this year based on Max's recommendation and also a business leader down in Texas that I highly respect. And I guess I would say this, if you feel like you're hitting ceilings in your business, no matter what you do, you're constantly maxing out, this is the book that you need to read, or at least that was, you know, my main reason for reading it. But as far as the optimization, you know, there's so many different things that can be done to optimize your business. So you bring in more profit, you save more opportunity, or you simply have more time for yourself. I would like to do a series, you know, here in January, you know, preparing, optimizing, setting up your business, you know, for success. And the first thing that I'm going to really focus on, Jason Mazzanti and I, we were talking about this at the Conklin Business Seminar, but the number one reason I feel that we've been able to connect with the right people and stay engaged to grow this network nationwide has been because all of the contacts are managed in the system. And it might sound a little intimidating for someone that's never managed contacts before, but imagine a platform where you can go in there and you can instantly bring up all your hot leads of a certain type, or even find unresponsive or warm leads, you know, when you run out of your hot ones. If you can come up with a system where you can say, I want a guy in this state, or I'm trying to think of other examples that be a little bit more related to roofing, but if you have everything together, not only can you filter through and find people, but you can also write history on various contacts. So, you know, at any given time, I might be working with 50 leads, and I can't remember all the little things about each one of those people. And so if I get a reminder to call Steve tomorrow, I need to know why I'm calling and what he's told me he likes, what he told me he doesn't like, what direction we're heading, because odds are, Steve is going to remember all of that and is going to be annoyed if I ask him to, you know, repeat everything he's already told me. And even if Steve wouldn't know exactly what we talked about before, the direction he's headed, just having you come in and remind him and put you on that track, you'll save a lot of time. You'll have a whole lot more confidence in, you know, your ability to care about his needs. But that would be for a different call. The main reason why I added, you know, the optimization side of that is if someone feels like their business is already set up and they're ready to go to step two, I felt like this call would also be really good for that. So, but let me go ahead and open up the lines, and then if anybody has any comments or something else they want to discuss, you know, feel free to speak up.
Good evening, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can.
All right. This is Amos. I'm down in Sarasota, Florida. I just got in a little bit late tonight, but I liked what I was hearing there. Some of the things that I believe Max was talking, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, some of the things he covered there that that I experienced learning the hard way is when you're hiring people, a lot of times we just fire somebody because they're a warm body and they're willing to go up on the roof. And what he covered there about, you know, having your job descriptions and knowing who you want and sticking by your principles and the purpose of the company and hiring that way is very powerful. So once you have somebody on your team, whether you marry them or whether you hire them, they're on your team. And then you got to deal with them. So make sure you do it right and start out right.
Yep. Thank you for sharing. If I can add to that again, I personally read this book about 6 months ago, and then because we are a general contractor, we do other work. We were actually looking for an individual to do some carpentry as well as electrical stuff. So we ended up posting a position about on Craigslist and some other avenues and talking to people we were hiring. And when we interviewed this individual, we told him right from the beginning, hey, you know, my name is Max. My partner's name is Billy. Our number one thing is that every job site that we go to, we strive for 100% customer satisfaction. You have to go to that job site and you have to be proud of what you do and you have to represent us correctly. Now, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for a carpenter that can do some stuff, but mainly we're looking for an electrician that can wire houses, that can take things apart, that if we're up on the rooftop and we have an HVAC unit and we have an electrical disconnect, that you can go in there and do your things professionally. And we interviewed about 5 guys, and we hired this individual. He's been with us for almost 5 months at this point, and, you know, before I was paying my electricians anywhere from $35 to $75 an hour for like a quick service call or whatever, now we have someone in our team that can do carpentry work as well as electrical work for $18 an hour. So again, once we knew what we needed in our company and we drafted that job, we needed that job, but once we really defined it, we were able to go out and scope out the right individual to serve as that. And when we emphasized and continue to emphasize, you know, we meet once a month. I go to the shop myself and say, okay, 7 o'clock on Monday at the beginning of the month, I'm going to be there. Number one thing we start off is, hey, you know, just remember our customers are hiring us because we are there to provide 100% customer satisfaction. And then we go in and talk about, you know, the projects we have coming up and whatever. But it's very important to have that job description, to have, you know, to know what is it that you know, what is it that you need in your company for your company to provide, to continue providing the services that you're providing.
Very well, Max. Let me ask you a question. How many years of experience have you had? How many people did you go through until you got to where you are now?
I'll tell you my experience. I went to school for architectural engineering, so I graduated in 2007. After that, I worked for a smaller size engineering company that was about 6 of us out of Portland, Maine, and we did anything from small commercial projects to very high-end, like $20 million homes in Maine. Then after that, the economy hit bottom. I worked for the DOT. I've always had a very strong work ethic. And, you know, within a year of DOT, I had guys working under me because I had that leadership role in me. After that, I worked for another state position, mainly on the building side. And I, managed a very high-profile data center project for the state. And then all along, I was doing consulting work. So in 2013, so we're just pretty much 2.5 years, my partner, who at that time I've been consulting for a long time, gave me a call and we decided to partner up. He already had some people in place. He had about 12 individuals in place at that time. After I joined forces, we probably fired together probably 6 of them, and then we hired on and off the right and wrong individuals. Literally like a year ago, we just had something really bad happen at one of our job sites where we were working at a restaurant fit-out. We were working at a commercial studio fit-out, and there was a restaurant next door, and one of our employees was cleaning at the end of the night, and he walked into the restaurant, and
stole a bottle of a thing, and then it just came down. We found out, and, you know, so we've gone through the bad experiences, and until I read the book, The E-Myth, and I started to, you know, meet with my partner and say, hey, you know, our business is not going the right way. We're not doing things the correct way. You know, I don't want to be working, you know, 10 years from now, the same amount of hours I'm working now. You know, what do we do to change this stuff? And once we really started to reanalyze and say, hey, Sandy, who's our foreman, yeah, sure, he can go out to the job site and he could say, okay, well, we're going to, you know, do this roof, do the metal coating on it, here's the instructions, figure it out, go and do that. But really, he needs to understand what his function is within that company. Because, again, the individuals that are working for you, as Michael Gerber will explain in his book, they're on the technician level. They're there to show up at the job site at 7 o'clock in the morning, at 3:30, they're there to get out, go home, do whatever they got to do, come back the next day and do that. Some people's mentality are just at that point, and that's fine. There's another book by Stephen Covey, which is called The 7 Habits of Highly Successful Individuals, or Highly Successful People, obviously get out goals. But it talks about just the psychology and some of the thinking and the mindset of individuals. Some people, unfortunately, will always work a job. They will be the most, you know, the best employees you'll have. They'll be faithful to your company. They'll do whatever you got to do. And then you'll get this one individual that's going to come in. He's going to be the best guy in the world ever. You're going to count on him for everything. He's going to do everything that you ask him for and more. And then he's just going to leave. And you're going to say, well, you know, how come this guy isn't doing that? Well, because this guy used to do it. And the reason that happens is because you don't have that flow, that organization chart of who's doing what and who's responsible for what and who's checking their work and who's checking the work before them. So there's a constant, you know, fluid motion that has to happen of this guy's doing that, this is how we're going to check his work, and if that guy doesn't check up on his work, this is the checks and balances that we're going to have. So you're always going to have that accountability system. So, you know, my foreman knows, hey, you know, this is what you need to get done on this date based on our schedule. He's going to come in and he's going to do an inspection. If he goes in there and this is not done, you know, you're going to have to go back and do it. And we actually rewrote our employee manuals. And one of the things in our employee manuals, it says, if you mess up on a job, you're going to go back and fix it at your own dime. So we literally had someone, we were doing a small residential kitchen renovation. Someone forgot to move the refrigerator when they said at the back of the day, 6:30, we got that phone call. That guy had to go out in his own car, move the refrigerator, and take care of the issue. So when you start to put these checks and balances in place and your guys see that, hey, you know, this guy is the boss, he's respectful to me, he knows what's going on, but he's serious about his business and I need to be serious about what I do, everything just starts to line up in a magical way. That's kind of the best answer that I can give you. But, yeah, we've both Billy and myself, we've gone through different employees. We've gone through bad guys. We've gone through good guys. We've, you know, in this industry, I don't care where you are, everyone has problems with those individuals that are just, you know, the best working guys, but they're too tied up with a drug life or they're just, you know, a mental mess and they just can't get it together. So we all deal with the unfortunate guys that we wish were dependable, but they're not. And again, once you create that stuff in there and you start to look for those individuals, you'll find them. But those individuals, the reason that they were last in the company is because they're between what Michael Gerber calls the technician and the manager. They want to be that foreman. They want to move up. They want to represent you. They want to have a team behind them. But if they can't have the vision that you're going to be in business 5-10 years from now, they're going to be like, well, you know, I'm going to work this job. It's going to be a stepping stone. And 2 years from now, when, you know, these guys don't give me a raise or I'm not making enough money or a better opportunity comes along the way, I'm just going to move on. And that's, again, that's something that as an entrepreneur, you have to say, okay, well, I need to provide the work for these guys. And before I go and make another crew or another salespeople or stuff like that, do I have enough work to sustain the first crew that I have on what they're doing? So that being said, you know, employees is a whole other topic that we can have a phone call just on that, just probably multiple days. But, yeah, there is some trial and error that everyone has to go through, I think.
Hey, that's part of the process. You know, failure is never a failure unless you quit.
Yep.
Failure is only, you know, when you fail at something, and that all that is a stepping stone to learn what you need to learn. I always say it's God's way of letting you know what you need to change to move forward.
Yep, that's definitely correct. And, again, the best thing is, I don't know if you all watch TV, but one of the shows that I picked up about a year ago is called The Prophet. And this guy, he emphasizes the people, product, and the process. If you think about it, we've already had the best product that's out there. The process is somewhat outlined for us as far as the application method to go out and install these roofing products. If we find the right individuals and we have the right systems on how to apply that process and making sure, you know, the process of the technical part of spraying down the roof coatings or fixing the metal roofs or whatever is one thing, but it's the process of, okay, this guy shows up at the shop at 7 o'clock, they get in the truck, they drive a certain distance, they work for 8 hours a day, they get back in the truck, they get back to the shop, they account for the materials, they clean out the sprayer. Having that process in line is the second part to running the good, successful business. So, again, it's just having the organization and having that vision. What do you want your company to be? And, again, some individuals are always going to work on their roofs, and they're going to have one or two guys that are helping them, and that's perfectly fine. That is your limitation. That is where you want your company to go. And if you are fine with that, that's good for you. The only warning that I will tell you, and, again, I'm a very young individual, is – my partner, he's going to hit 50 next year, so he's saying, look, you know, 10 years from now, I can't be doing what I'm doing now, so I brought you in so we could figure out this business together, because I'm hoping to still own this business, but have the business work for me, not me work for the business. So that is hopefully where I would like to leave you guys and say, hey, you know, I can do these roofs, I can paint it all out, that's great, but what are you going to do 20, 30, 10 years from now when it's time for you to, when it's going to be physically impossible for you to do it just because of old age? So, you know, let's just work on our businesses together. And if we put the right systems in place, I can guarantee you can get it done. And I hope that a year from now we can have the same follow-up phone call and we could all say, hey, you know, we tried this and this worked and we tried this and this didn't work and this worked better for me and this didn't work better for me. And we could all analyze this together and we could say, okay, well, let's replan. And what I think is going to happen is 2 or 3 years from now, the whole Choice Group organization is just going to be a massive thing. We're literally the next Angie's List for commercial roofing. So let's just make this thing happen. So.
Cool. Thank you, Max.
Definitely.
Well, Max, I have to admit, I don't know what went wrong with my software, but all those people that I muted before, it's not allowing me to unmute them, and I have sent them text to let them know that they'll have to log out and get back in, but I probably should let you know that, too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if I mean... Yeah?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah, sure
can. Hear you.
I'm Amos.
Yeah,
I'm on my cell phone. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. I was driving when we started the call. I was wondering, is there any incentives to give the employees that's a good employee, like a bonus, or how do you keep them good guys? I just brought...
Yeah, I'm sure there's different people that can try out different stuff. And again, that I would recommend that you look up the Stephen Covey book that talks about the 7 habits of highly effective individuals. What ends up happening is it is a thing of the mindset. The same mindset that you're creating for your employees, it's going to trickle down. So what's going to happen is you're going to have that great year. You're going to have whatever, $100,000 sitting in your bank account, and you got to say, man, you know, I really want to do good for these individuals. Now, if your intent is to give out these bonuses and show that and really say that, I believe it's more effective for you to personally say, hey, look, you know, the company did great last year. You helped me out. You were effective on this thing. And just have an individual one-on-one thing and just say, hey, you know, we are trying and we're going to continue to grow this company and we hope to continue doing these bonuses. But what you don't want to do, which a lot of people do, and actually my partner was part of this that he did, was say, hey, you know, if you guys bang out this roof and work a 12-hour day, I'm going to give you guys an extra $250 for the day or whatever. You don't want to make that perception or that mindset that these people are just working for you and they're doing their hard-earned work, and if they work extra, they're going to get that, because that's going to become the norm and that's going to become the expectation that, hey, you know, this guy is rolling with money. He just wants to work us as slaves. And, you know, some days, you know, in the summertime when we do have that 12-hour day, he's going to give me that, you know, extra $250. Again, that's not what you want to create. What you want to create is those individuals that say, hey, you know, we're all about providing the right service to our customers. So today, we as a team collectively are going to stay and we're going to work 12-hour days, because what we want to do is we want to make it early to the next job site and we want to provide that great service. And when you reward your employees, whether it's at the end of the year, whether it's at, you know, every 3 months, or you just give a guy a gift card or whatever, I think it's a better, from my personal experience, it's a better reward system if you just pull them aside and you explain to them exactly how they helped grow that company, because then they can see their worth in the company, versus if you just give everyone $1,000 bonus across the board, yeah, sure, they're happy, but their mindset is just, well, you know, this guy's loaded with cash and he's just giving me a little bit of a percentage or whatever. They're not seeing what their role was to change that. And again, there's many employee and motivational books that talk about rewards and how to best give them, but it's creating that mindset of what are people expecting. Do you want them to expect that at the end of every single year you're going to give them that $1,000 bonus, or do you want them to expect that once the company does the great service and provides that best product and service to that client, that everyone in the company is going to grow and be rewarded tremendously, whether it's monetary, whether it's gifts, whether it's a trip, whether it's a camping trip, whether it's a fishing trip. So those are the values that you want to create.
I like to chime in just a little bit here too. I totally second everything that Max said. Particularly about, you know, setting a precedent and then making it an expectation rather than a gift. One of the reasons why I left what most people would consider a dream job, it might not have been quite 6 figures, but working at home, total flexibility, able to manage things the way that I want to with very little oversight, is because at the beginning, like the first, like about 4 years, I really believed that everything I did would translate back to success to me. But about the 4-year mark was when we started growing like crazy and I was no longer getting proportionally rewarded. And I think it's important that, you know, people feel that they're really part of the company and benefiting along with the company and not just helping making someone else successful.
Right.
Yeah, I guess what I'll add to that again is I think Edward Brown posted on the Choice Roof Contractor Group, or I shared his post about, it was a little article by Spartio, and they talked about, you know, salespeople and rewards, and that talks a little bit more on the same thing. But again, you can talk to different individuals and just see what people are doing. I think you'll realize across the board that if you just set that expectation that everyone's going to get that bonus at the end of the year, and I think you're creating the value that the guys want to see, that they want to make sure that they're part of that company, they're seeing the company grow. Again, that's what you want to create. That's the team that you want to have working for you, because then the guys will literally do anything for you, and it won't be a monetary reward, but it'll be a personal development for them to know, hey, I really pulled this company out of a jam and this company really appreciates me, versus, you know, every time I do something right, this company kicks me an extra $100. And again, that will trickle down to, do you want to hire those individuals that, you know, just work for the money and are just going to provide the best service based on what they're paid? Or do you want to hire those individuals that get paid well for their service because they're really good at what they do and they represent your company correctly? So that is the question that I will ask myself every time I hire someone.
Awesome.
Anybody else? Well, any other questions? Comments?
Max, you had, this is Amos again, you had said something about the TV show on HGTV called The Prophet.
Yeah.
I watched that show a lot. I've watched it for quite some time. And now when I watch it, I go like, if Marcus would come in, be a partner in my company, what would he do? How would he run this company? What would he change? What would he tell me to do? And that inspires me to think about how I can grow the company. I highly recommend anybody that wants to grow their company watch that show and just start studying what Marcus does. I mean, he comes in and buys, you know, he pays hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars for a portion of the company and then says, I'm 100% in charge, and goes in and fixes the company up and makes it profitable and turns it around where it's a profitable company. So it's a pretty inspirational show that we have on TV right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a good show. And again, the reason that he says that he's not a consultant but more of a owner and part of the company is because psychologically he knows that he's going to get more from being a partner to the people that have the right vision that want their business to succeed versus just being an investor where he just gives them a loan or, you know, does a one-time consulting because, you know, we all need checks and balances. And again, the best and worst, you know, example of this is the McDonald's. You're going to have that McDonald's vision, the business of the commercial roofing service that you provide. That is the business. This is what you as the owner of the company, you as the entrepreneur, this is what you're focused on. The technical work, which is spraying down the roofs and the customer, you know, interaction and the sales and everything else that goes in to provide that great service, that is the technical work of your business. Once you can plan all that stuff and then you can really separate on, okay, this is what I need to do to get my company at that level where I do have a salesperson, where I do have a secretary, where I do have, you know, a crew and a foreman, where I can double up my crew and a foreman, and everything is in place, you have to plan for those items if that's what you want. As long as you plan for what you want, you're going to get there. So you're your only limitation. So if you want to grow your business, just keep on thinking positively, get the right mindset, start making changes, you know, today on, okay, well, you know, I don't know enough about, you know, whatever the scenario may be. Let me talk to someone that does. Or I want to learn more about how to, you know, duplicate myself. Jonathan gave me a great book that's called U Squared, and it's a very easy read, and I'll see if I could find something to put it online. But again, it's all about making sure that the people that are associating with you have the same vision and they understand that vision that you have. And again, your business is just going to grow tremendously.
Well, I think it would be probably prudent to talk about, you know, where you go from here, you know, not just end the call and do the same thing that you were doing all of 2015. Max, do you want to share maybe a couple things that people can do to take it to the next level?
Sure. Well, the first and most important thing is if you were at the, you know, Conklin Business Seminar or if you've gone to any of the motivational stuff, you know, the first and most important thing is to kind of plan out your life or plan out the next year and write down your goals. You know, I heard that for probably, 20 years of my life when I didn't write down my goals for a long time. And actually, my wife and I were meeting earlier in our hectic schedule, and we wrote down our goals for 2016. And, you know, there we have personal development stuff and business stuff and, you know, places we want to travel and things we want to do. So, you know, it kind of gives me a mental roadmap of, you know, one of the things on my list is to, you know, she wants to go to Thailand in November of next year. So that's on my thing for November of 2016. So now I know that if I'm going there in November, I have to buy my plane tickets and plan out this trip for August. Well, if this trip is going to cost me $4,000, I better start working on how to make $4,000 extra that, you know, I wasn't planning on making, or how to come up with that money to do it. So again, it's just breaking things down personally yourself on a mindset and saying, okay, what is it that I want to do next year, and put all your personal stuff and your business stuff in there. And then, you know, I'll share another one with you guys. One of my other business stuff is to develop another roofing company in a warmer climate like Florida or somewhere else. And the way that, you know, I plan to do that is by, again, taking what I've done at my current roofing company, Cudesso Roofing, and see if we can, again, reinforce that system, make sure that we take this summer and really experiment all the items that we put in place, make sure that our salespeople, make sure that our crews, make sure that our project managers are all interconnected. And when that's working all fine, then I can say, okay, well, I could take this business model, put it in, you know, Florida, put it in Texas, put it in California, which the market share there is just incredibly huge. And, you know, just seeing how I can grow these businesses. So, again, I think once you start writing out your plan and you say, okay, I'm going to plan out my life, or I'm going to plan out at least my life for the next year, and these are the goals. When you have this thing hanging on your refrigerator and June comes by and you said, well, you know, it's June already and I wanted to take that trip to go fishing, and here I am up on these roofs and I don't know if I'm going to go do fishing. Well, you know, it kind of kicks yourself in the butt and you have your personal self to be accountable for. So I definitely say write down your goals to see what you want to do for the next year, and, you know, just start working on those things. Make sure you put a time frame for those things, because if you just put, you know, I want to, you know, lose 35 pounds over, you know, the next year, well, I guess what, January is going to come by and pretty soon it'll be December again of 2016. You're like, man, I never made that 35 pounds. I thought about it a lot, but, you know, I didn't look at it on my refrigerator enough. So when you see it there in front of you and you can check things off and you can see that the dates are coming and you're not working towards that deadline, it's a personal motivation that you'll have to say, okay, I committed to myself that I was going to do these things, and what am I doing to make sure that that's happening? And just constantly, you know, move around your goals, and what you'll see over the lifetime is you'll write down your lifetime goals. You know, for a while I wanted to have a Ferrari, and then about 2 years ago I was like, well, I don't really want a Ferrari. Yeah, it'd be nice to drive one day, but then I drove one and it's like, yeah, I don't really want this for my car. I'd rather have a nice little four-door sedan, you know, a nice little stick shift car that I can have fun with, but I'm good with my truck, you know, I don't need anything else. So your goals will constantly change as your mindset and as you develop personally. But again, unless you put everything in writing and you really put time frames for yourself, you can't check on yourself if you don't have anything to check against.
Awesome. Well, why don't you, I know a lot of the ideas from this call came from the E-Myth. So what was the author, or who was the author of that book?
Michael Gerber.
Awesome. And then also that other book that Max talked about, the U Squared, it's just spelled out U with two superscripted over top. I got that from Amos, and it really helped me break through just a couple things that I needed to think about things differently. which put me on the right path. And that book only takes, what would you say, Max, 10 minutes to read?
Yeah, I think so. I probably read it here and there as I was between phone calls and meetings. So, yeah, probably half an hour, just if you want to read it a couple times. And some things you got to read twice. So,
right. So that would be a good, you know, starting point. But, you know, also you can get a lot of this stuff on ebooks. I personally have Audible on my phone, and I just stream that into my car when I'm going on a long trip. And so I'm not really taking away from anything or keeping business from happening. But, well, does anybody else have anything else to add or questions, comments? Well, I think that's it, Max.
All right, gentlemen. So I think what the goal and the plan is going to be for us to have a phone call like this probably every 2 weeks. I guess this was kind of an introduction to this thing. I'm sure as people start reading some more material and start, you know, sharing more stuff. Again, Sam had shared, I think it was Bob Proctor, or I can't remember his first name off the top of my head.
Yes.
There are just tons of motivational speakers, and they're all saying the same thing. Hey, it's all in our brains, you know. It's everyone was taught the same thing as we grew up in school, that if you work hard, you work great for a company, you're going to have this retirement plan, you're going to live happily ever after. You know, that's not reality, fellas, and, you know, we're here to make that change. So, you know, let's make the roofing business be part of the business and how we change what it does for us and also the individuals around us, and yeah, the rewards will just be tremendous. So, I mean, that being said, I think our goal is going to be to have a call like this every 2 weeks. The next one, I'm writing a little schedule on what I talk about, but we'll probably go more in detail about some of the specifics of the entrepreneur, manager, and technician. And then I'll share with you on, you know, some of the ways that I wrote up my company, and I'll connect with Jonathan to see if we could do a little online display, and I'll show you my flow chart of those things. And that way you can see where I have, you know, the owner of the company and how we interact and our employees and how this guy does this and this guy does that. And then I'll be able to kind of visually see how I connect the dots and how I plan to duplicate this image and say, okay, well, if I'm doing that with five people, I can do the same thing and produce the same results with 10 people. And that's how I go from a $1 million company to a $2 million company to a $5 million to a $10 million just by duplicating something that already works. So that'll be the next step. So if you want to start thinking about, you know, what you're doing in your business, whether it's, you know, the equipment that you have isn't working for you, whether it's the guys that you have aren't working for you, whether it's the clients that you're getting aren't working for you, because I've had those as well, whether it's the, you know, the weather that you're at is not working for you, whatever it is that's not working for you, and you start to, you know, put all of these objections to say, man, this business really sucks because I can't figure out how to get beyond this stuff. You know, just think about that, and I can share with you some of my things on the next call that we faced and how we've, you know, moved some things around to make it happen. And then if everyone pitches in on things that they've tried and things that, or flow charts that you have for your company, again, we'll all get more from everyone. So that, again, I'll end it with a quote again that says, you know, don't fear failure. Fear is being in the exact same place next year as you are today. So hopefully before next year we can continue to reconnect, and next year when we talk about this we can all be laughing of where we were today. So
definitely.
So thank you very much, gentlemen, and if you know, if anyone wants to post something on Facebook, or if we want to start a little chat on different topics, just put your questions up there and we can discuss them next time. Or if you see something inspirational that can help the team, if you find a good insurance agent or whatever you think that can help the network overall, whether it's, you know, or storm chasers or whatever it is, there's just tons of information that the more we share, the better it is going to be for everyone. And another thing that I'll share with you, I know we're trying to get off this call, but another thing I'll share with you, it's important when you learn something or you think you've acquired that knowledge, when you share it and you teach other people, you will actually learn more from yourself by sharing that stuff. And then you'll say, okay, believe it or not, this phone call today, there's going to be things that I go into the office that I've written down that tomorrow I'm going to make some changes based on this phone call, because me saying some things has actually made me think about something else. So by sharing and teaching other individuals other things, it's just going to come back to you, and you're going to, you know what you need to do within yourself in order to apply those things that you say that, help you in your brain to change that mindset or to change what you're doing.
Definitely. And I'll probably put up a little message about this. You know, every single one of us can lead a call. You know, if you have your own thing that you want to present to the group, just post it. I'll give you access to our conference line, or you can use your own conference line. I just think it's so awesome how everybody's pitching in and really making this thing come alive. We'll do this again sometime early next year.